Very happy to be joined now by winner on the PGA Tour, Mackenzie Hughes, joining us now. Brent Gunning here, Sam McKee alongside me. So first things first, Mackenzie, congratulations on a tremendous, tremendous showing at the Honda. Obviously, that's one of the more difficult stops on tour. So playing as well as you did there, that's got to give you a little confidence moving forward, I'd imagine.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I this year hasn't quite gone according to plan, but, I always knew I was capable of doing that sort of thing, and just kept telling myself to keep trusting it, keep believing in it. And it was obviously, very rewarding to come through with a tournament like that and to have a chance to win on a golf course like that. So that's definitely going to give me some confidence going forward, and looking forward to building on it the rest of the year.
So obviously, being comfortable is such an important part of, playing your best. How much of it, obviously, you're locked in and you're working with your caddy, Jace, but how much did it, even if it's just in the back of your mind, having a guy in the grouping, in Albin Choi, who you know very well, have played against at times in the past, how much did that kind of add to your comfort level? I know we saw the fist pump after the big bird on 17 there.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And, obviously, my caddy and I are pretty close and are good friends. But to have, to have two good friends in your group out of the three other guys is pretty nice. And, Sungjae is pretty quiet and to himself. So really of the, guys that I was talking to, it was two good friends and two guys that, really want the best for you. And so that was a lot of fun. And, him and I had some good laughs out there. And, yeah, it was just, crazy, crazy world that, he's caddying in his first PGA Tour event. And, we happened to be paired together on Sunday together. So really fun, really happy for him. I know he was, he's still trying to play and he's a player with a ton of talent. So hopefully that, a little bit of extra cash gives him that boost to go out there and do it and maybe be battling him on Sunday in the near future.
Yeah, I know everyone at Golf Canada would love to see that. So you mentioned having fun. It's a comfortable pair. I've got to ask you, we all saw the little dance you did, the Sam Cassell dance after Sungjae Im shot on 17. Now, the question I have for you, was that for Sungjae Im or was that for you? Because this is just a couple moments before you had as big a you-know-whats as any sink in that putt on 17.
That was definitely for Sungjae. I think it was lost on him what I was doing, but Alvin got a good chuckle with it.
We loved it.
Yeah, it was, I don't know, I just, I saw a shot in the air, and I was like, good Lord, that's potentially a putt. And, it didn't carry by much, and it was, it just in the air the entire time looked like it was very borderline. And, when it came to rest 10 feet from the hole and it was right of the hole, I just thought, wow, this guy is ridiculous. And, to hit that shot in that moment was really impressive. And so I thought it was pretty fitting to kind of gesture to him that he needed some extra help, maybe carrying his friends to the green. I didn't think about it. It just kind of came to me and I was like, wow, this guy's, that was really impressive. And it was more of a compliment than anything else. It wasn't like it was meant to be, offensive or anything like that. I know there was a couple of people on social media that weren't happy that I did it because they thought it was offensive, but
nah, forget those guys. Good. It was hilarious, man.
I thought it was funny. So anyways, yeah, it was definitely for him. And yeah, he had some really impressive shots down the stretch.
So you brought up social media there, and that's kind of a question that I wanted to ask you. And I mean, you're on Instagram, you're on Twitter, like you're sort of in the scene in terms of like you're around my age or a 29-year-old guy. And I've just kind of noticed a bit of a change in the way golf is covered in terms of Instagram, Twitter, and it's sort of kind of moving into this century. And I think it's kind of catching up with the guys that are playing. And I just wanted to kind of get your thoughts on how the game is covered these days.
Yeah, I think it's definitely trending towards a younger demographic. There's a lot more social media engagements with fans. just in terms of like some of the fun, you know, golf accounts that are out there that are, you know, either kind of poking fun at players or, you know, making funny videos or whatever it is.
You'll be on a few of those after Sunday. I hope, you know.
Yeah. It's, you know, and it's all in good fun. I know that, you know, like a podcast, like No Laying Up, you know, they gave me a bit of grief for hitting a line drive into the grandstands where Patrick Reed was sitting. You know, so I thought that was pretty funny. Now, you know, granted at the time I, you know, was trying to hit a great shot and didn't pull it off, but, you know, you have to be able to laugh at yourself a little bit in those moments. And it's just, you know, it's the way the game is now. And I think it's great. I think it's anything that helps the popularity of the game and to grow the game is okay in my books. So if it brings a few more people to the game that wouldn't ordinarily get into it, then all for it. So I think it's great. It's a little bit lighter, a little less stuffy than it, you know, has been in the past. So that's all good for the game.
Well, I'm sure that, I mean, you seem like a pretty easygoing guy, but I'm sure there's some guys who don't take kindly to some of the stuff that's posted. I mean, I see some of the stuff on Instagram and Twitter. I'm like, wow, that's pretty ruthless. I'm sure there's some guys that are a little bit, got their backups about the way that some stuff's said about them on social media.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's some accounts out there that, you know, are definitely pushing the envelope.
That's one way to put it.
And, you know, for certain guys, you know, they've opened themselves up to be, you know, easier targets. You know, and I'm not going to name any names.
Of course not.
There's definitely guys that, you know, set themselves up with, you know, stuff they do, you know, on the golf course or in life. And it's just, you know, if you're going to do that stuff, you know, you're going to hear about it. And you're going to get some grief just knowing, you know, the way today's landscape is. That's just how it's going to be. If you slip up and do something kind of stupid, you're probably going to hear about it. And so it's, you know, yes, there's times that, you know, certain guys, buttons probably get pushed, and you know, for some of those guys it's probably better off to stay off social media, but sometimes it's hard to avoid some of those things. And but you have to have the right attitude about it. Like, you know, if they're talking about you, then, you know, they probably have some sort of, you know, admiration for you. You know, it's just, it's their way to get clicks and to get likes, and it's just, again, it's part of the way the world is now. And you know, like, you know, people poking fun at me for the, you know, the 18th hole, like, you know, I get it. It's fine. But I also, you know, play on the best tour in the world and, you know, almost won a golf tournament on the PGA Tour. So I'm not going to be like, oh, these guys are, you know, getting better of me. Just like, oh, I hit a bad shot. Well, know, I can laugh at it. You know,
a lot of the guys who run those accounts are probably like, well, I mean, that's a shot that me, the 15 handicapper, would hit. So maybe I can poke a little fun at them.
Yeah, and, you know, it's all good. I you know, am very aware that, you know, this is just the way, you know, it is now. And, you know, I've always felt like I could, you know, poke fun at myself enough to, you know, get through those, you know, situations. It's not like that, you know, situation's going to haunt me forever. I just, you know, you kind of laugh it off and you learn from it. And, you know, you're trying to be better next time.
So you mentioned other golfers on tour, and it kind of made me think about all the Canadians that have been on tour now. And I mean, Nick Taylor won at Pebble Beach this year. Corey Connors got the win last year. You guys have kind of always floating around the leaderboard, and it's got to be awesome for you. But the question I have is, which of you guys is the biggest patriot, the biggest bleeding heart Canuck?
That's a great question.
Feel safe to say you. None of them are going to call you out on it. You can just say yourself.
And Hadwin as well. I didn't mention there. There's a lot of you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would say I'm fairly patriotic. You know, very proud to be from Canada. And, you know, I don't know, when I see that Canadian flag on the board, like whether it was Nick or it's Corey or Adam, like Roger, any of those guys, like I just, you know, I get that feeling of pride, like, you know, like, if it's not going to be me, I hope it's one of them. You know, I hope it's, you know, one of my boys, you know, like gets it done or, you know, is up there. And I don't know. I've never felt like, you know, and maybe that is the Canadian in me, but I've always, you know, really rooted hard for guys, you know, like Nick and Corey and Roger, Adam, like those guys. Like I want them to do really well. You know, they're my guys, and it's just a lot of fun to have that many guys out there from Canada and guys that are playing well, and it just makes for, you know, a lot of fun Sundays. And, you know, I watched Nick at Pebble, and that really inspired me. I play a lot of practice rounds with Nick, and, you know, go figure, my next tournament that I played, I almost won. So there's a lot of power in like watching your buddies do great things like that. And I know for me, it definitely gave me a boost. And at the same time, it almost kicks me in the ass too. And you're just like, you know, I can do that. Like, you know, that's a guy that, you know, I take money off on Tuesdays a lot. Like I can do that too. And, you know, so it's all great stuff between us. And, I think we all carry that pride, around with us on the PGA Tour.
Okay, so obviously there's a lot of Canadians, but the one thing I particularly love about you, and you have this in common with Corey Connors, that beautiful yardage book you carry around with that Leafs logo. Just how much do you keep tabs on the team? How much are you able to watch? And then between the two of you, you and Connors, I believe he has the Leafs on his yardage book as well. Is one of you a bigger fan than the other?
Yeah, well, I actually will take credit for getting him that yardage book.
So. Oh, wow, there we go.
You could say that, you know, I went out on a limb to, you know, secure those for us. I've got a contact at MLSC that, you know, helped us out with those. And those are awesome.
If there's any more floating around, there's two guys I know who might want to get their hands on.
I'll let you know if I find any. But, you know, they're you know, Corey and I are both big Leafs guys. And, you know, watching games with our schedules is, you know, tougher than, you know, I would like it to be. I'd love to be able to watch a few more games, but, you know, if I can't watch a game, you know, I'm up the next day, you know, watching the Leafs game in six, you know, on their Twitter account, and, you know, catching up on some of the stuff and looking at some of the stats and just how things went if I can't watch the game. And, you know, obviously, right now, we're in a pretty tough spot, you know, obviously coming off a few nice games, but, you know, we're far from secure in the playoffs. So every game going forward is going to be really big and basically playoff mentality the rest of the way. But, yeah, big Leafs fan, and, you know, really pulling for them to kind of put things together here down the stretch. And, you know, who knows? I mean, this could be a great formula where they potentially, you know, start peaking towards the end of the year and start to really click and get some guys back. And you never know. I mean, I felt like the last couple of years they've been playing so well and then kind of, you know, fizzled out in the first round. And, you know, obviously playing Boston is tough, but it could be better going at it this way, where you just kind of fight your way into the playoffs and then, you know, from there go make some noise. But, yeah, so we'll see what happens. But I'm excited to get, you know, some of those guys back from the injuries and see what they can do.
Well, maybe when we do a show on Sportsnet tonight, we'll have you on to be our Leafs analyst, because that was pretty pretty good there. That was pretty good, McKenzie.
Yeah, you know, I'm a big sports guy. So I mean, you know, not just with in the Leafs, but just, you know, I follow, you know, a lot of sports and try and watch a lot of SportsCenter, because I just love being in tune with what's going on. And I think sports are the best. So, yeah.
So I have
cheering hard from afar for the blue and white.
I love it. So last week we did a little content piece for Sportsnet here about sort of the hole at your local course that kind of eats you up. But I mean, you're a professional golfer. I don't know if there's one at Dundas that eats you up, but is there one that you can point to? I mean, maybe there, or maybe on tours, or one that you step up to it and you know you're beat?
Before you answer that, you can absolutely say, guys, I'm a pro golfer. I shoot 61 every time at Dundas. You can absolutely say that.
You know, I would say at Dundas, there isn't a hole that I would say, you know, eats me up.
Yeah, you're a professional. Yeah.
There are definitely, so the par threes at Dundas Valley are really tough. Now, so I would say they have a good blend. They have two short par threes and they have two long par threes. And the two long par threes, 4 and 9, are really difficult. I mean, the fourth hole is like 210, small green, and number 9 is 230, with a pretty severe green that pitches left to right. And
yeah, that sounds pretty tough.
Know, yeah, and it's not like you know, I'm making big scores on these holes, but you know, when you make 3 on those holes, it's always a good thing. So. I would say those are probably the hardest holes at Dundas for a tour player, just because you're not going to make a lot of birdies. But you know, I would say I make a fair number of pars, but you could also make bogey just as easily. So you know, if I'm out there and I'm trying to shoot the course record, I know that those par threes are a big part of that. Like I need to par those par threes and get through those holes in order to have a chance to shoot all around.
Do you have the course record at Dundas?
I do not.
Oh.
I have, you know, I would say that I'm a little bit disadvantaged just not being able. I mean, I probably play one round a year
yeah,
now
fair.
Out there, so I get just one crack at it the last bunch of years, but I have shot 64 more times than I can count. So,
oh, that's decent, I guess.
The record is 63.
Oh, man. And then you start thinking, you're like, if I had it just knocked in that 10-footer, like, it's no problem, just one stroke.
Yeah. I'll do it one of these days. Hopefully I'll be able to play a couple times this summer and catch it on a nice day and hopefully break that record. I mean, that'd be nice to have just to put a little feather in the cap.
Well, but except there's some guy who is at Dundas sitting there saying, I hold the course record at a course that a PGA Tour player plays at. So this guy is gutted, I'm sure, to hear it, whoever has it there. Last one before we let you go. You've teed it up with Tiger a couple of times at events. And obviously, you know, you were in the throes of trying to win a tournament on Sunday, and that's nuts. And that atmosphere, I would imagine Tiger brings a completely different element to it. But is there anything about playing in a pairing with Tiger that people wouldn't expect? Obviously, you know, it's going to be louder. You know, there are going to be big crowds. You know, most of the eyeballs in the pair will be on him. But is there something about playing with him that maybe we wouldn't know from just watching?
You know, I would say the biggest thing that might be misconceived or misunderstood is just how normal of a guy he is. I would say, you know, I've played with guys that have won far less, you know, like I'm talking, you know, one time or two times that, like, you know, think that they're the, you know, greatest gift to God. And, you know, I remember playing with Tiger and being like, this guy, you know, you wouldn't know this guy won, you know, 82 times, you know, he just super, super down to earth, you know, talk to you like a normal guy. He didn't think he was better than you. It was pretty refreshing for a guy that's accomplished as much as he has. And, you know, sometimes they say when you meet your heroes that you're going to be disappointed. But I definitely wasn't. He was a super nice guy, super great to be around. And so that was probably what I took away from it mostly. I knew the crowds were going to be crazy. I knew the stuff people were going to say was going to be crazy, but
a lot of mashed potatoes, eh?
Light the candle.
A lot of mashed potatoes. A lot of getting the holes. You know, the standard stuff. People are very creative. Yeah, I would say that's probably the biggest thing I took away from it, is that he is a genuinely good guy and fun to play with. So I don't know if I would have been able to say that, you know, 15 years ago, but, you know, the current Tiger that I played with, twice, is definitely that way. So, that was a lot of fun, and hopefully I can do it again soon and do it on a Sunday when it really counts. That'd be ultimately the dream, would be to go down the stretch like I was this past week, but playing against Tiger. That'd be the ultimate thrill.
Just don't ask for it like Abe Answer did.
Yeah. I'm not begging for it, but it happened, you know.
Mackenzie, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it. I know busy week for you coming off the great finish, and best of luck to you at the Players.
Thanks a lot, bud.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.